Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It is a privilege and a blessing to be here this morning. Just welcome each one. It is good to see some of our front benches filled with some of our older people again. That's great. Okay, for some reason my screen isn't on here this morning, but that's okay. There it is. Okay. The word of the Lord came is the title of my message. Interesting that with some of the testimonies, how you received some encouragement from God. And what truly is meaningful when it's based and comes from Scripture. That's where the nourishment's at. As an introduction this morning, for my message, it kind of begins at the end of a story, so I want to bring you up to speed here with the story. This story happened in a dark time in Israel's history. Two verses in 1 Kings 16, verse 30, it says that Ahab did more evil in the sight of the Lord than all the kings before him. 32 says, Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. So this was in a time of severe famine. We know that Elijah was sent to confront Ahab. And we know the story of how they met on Mount Carmel and how they had this showdown of whose God is the real God. We know that God, the real God, sent fire to consume the offering, and it consumed the stones, the altar, the rocks, the water. And they killed the 450 prophets of Baal. We would say God spoke loudly, and he did that day. But Jezebel sends a threat to Elijah and says, before the day is over, I'm going to take your life. What does Elijah do? He goes on the run, scares him. He's out of here. And he goes and he runs away from the situation. 1 Kings 19:9 says this, and there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? So he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And so it was, when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly, a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, tore down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. And the Lord said unto him, go. And it continues on. The story goes on. So we see here that Elijah had a high and then a very low. And he desired a word from the Lord, as we do as well. It is kind of what we live on. It's those moments when we hear God speaking, and it may come through a song, it may come through somebody's testimony, it may come in various different ways. But we want to hear from God. The word of the Lord came. And as I was doing a search for this phrase, it shows up, this exact phrase, the word of the Lord came, shows up 92 times in the Old Testament. And the commentator suggested that different variations of this phrase meaning the same thing is well over 200 times in the Old Testament. So as we know, in the Old Testament, God spoke through prophets, through his people, in various different ways. I would believe that here Elijah heard an audible voice, and maybe many of the prophets did. I know in Genesis 15 it says the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. So that was for him. But we desire a word of the Lord. And as I was thinking about our upcoming week, what is ahead of us? We have these meetings because we want to take some concentrated time, and maybe more than we do normal, to see what God has for us. What am I expecting from this coming week? What do I want from this coming week? Do I want to hear from God? It was a question that came to my mind this past week as I was thinking about a message. What am I expecting from these meetings? Am I expecting to hear from God? I was blessed by the chorus last night, and as I was thinking about this message, also Zach Senzenig's testimony of his time at EBI, where he signed up for a class to study the book of Matthew, and he said in his mind, he was like, well, I pretty much know all the parables and what it says in the book of Matthew. But yet, as you dig deeper, there is just more there. There is always more there as we dig deeper. And as Steve 2 weeks ago was saying how vast and how big the universe is, and how as we develop better equipment and we can see further into our universe, how there is just more there. They are continually finding new things. And so that is how we can, as we concentrate and dig into the Word of God, there is always more there. There is always more there. Paul writes to the Corinthians, and he talks about milk and meat. Milk being referred to as basic Christian teaching, and then the meat as the more complete, deep things of God's Word. As we think about these two, milk, you just, at least I do, just go grab it out of the refrigerator, pour a glass, and you drink it, and you've got some good nutrition, at least for a little bit. But it doesn't give you the energy or sustain you quite like some meat does. When you prepare a steak, it usually takes some time. You marinate it. You grill it for a while. Some of these fancier restaurants, they'll let it hang for 40 days or whatever in their dry rub. It takes some preparation to get to that meat. And I think that is what God is saying as well. As we dig into the Word, as we get deeper into the Word, we will just find more. We are never mature enough Christian that we can exhaust the Word of God. So this morning, what I want to do here is just look at the Word of God. What is it? So I have 7 things here this morning about the Word of God, and I do this to inspire us, but also as I think of preparation for the coming week, as we think of Darlton expounding and getting into the Word of God, and we should actually be, every Sunday or every time, we should be prepared for the Word of God. But I just want to, I'm not saying anything new this morning, but it's a reminder that what the Word of God is. First of all, it is inspired, infallible, and inerrant. And one thing about when I was preparing this message, and trying to put some scriptures to these different points, I literally had a headache, not knowing which ones to choose. And I'm sure you're going to be sitting there this morning, you're going to say, well, this verse comes to mind for this and this, and that is fine. And if you want to share those at the end of the message, that's great. But so I just ended up choosing some. And if it's the Word of God, it's good. We have 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong. It teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. First of all, we realize that this Bible that we have is an inspired, infallible, and inerrant. Basically, it's from God, written by people, inspired by God to write. Some of these authors didn't know exactly what all they're writing, but these the prophecies, as I think about that. The Bible will never fail. It is always effective, and it is without error. We just have to believe that. The Bible is without error. What He says in here is right. It is true. I found this quote. I put it up here because it's a little bit maybe hard to follow along as I just read it. It says, "Many things in the Bible I cannot understand. Many things in the Bible I only think I understand. But there are many things in the Bible I cannot misunderstand." So there are many things in the Bible that are plain truth that we dare not misunderstand. So first of all, the Bible is without error. It is inspired by God. And we have the Bible so read available to us. Just sitting in my office, I count 6 Bibles. And in many parts of the world, they do not have that. And so I think we need to treasure this word. Point number 2, it is living and powerful. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." And then also Isaiah 55:10-11, "As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." And you know, many of these points we can make a whole sermon out of. The Word of God is alive. It is powerful. It reaches into places that nothing else can. It can get into the deepest, darkest places of our lives. It can perform open heart surgery. It shows where the blockage is. It is there. It does what it's supposed to do. God's word is an unstoppable force. You cannot redirect it. When God says that fire is not going to consume these people, it will not consume these people. When God says something, that is what is going to happen. It can stop time. Man, we can just think of all sorts of miracles in the Bible that go against what nature is. And we heard about fire this morning, about when God says it's not supposed to consume that bush, it won't. God's word is powerful. When it goes out, it accomplishes what it's supposed to do. You won't be able to stop it. It is alive. It'll cut to the hardest of hearts. It can change the vilest of people. God's word is powerful. It can get to places where no one else can, because it is alive, and we can't stop it, but we can help spread God's word. The third one, God's word is truth. Proverbs 30 in verse 5. Every word of God proves true. Some translations use pure. God's word is truth. It's fact. And James spent a whole message on that, and I appreciated that message. God's word is pure. It's truth. There are no additives. At this time of the year, we think of pure maple syrup. That's good stuff. Not that imitation stuff you can buy at the store. Some people like that, but I like, man, the pure maple syrup. It's good taste there. That is the word of God. Pure. It is. It's the real deal. It's pure gold. God's word is truth. Your word is truth. John 17:17, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. You can't argue with the facts. What's facts are facts. Yeah. You can't change that, and many people have tried. So let's not forget that. God's word is truth. Moving on to number four. The word provides nourishment. Matthew 4:4, and he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Proverbs 3:8, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. God's word provides spiritual nourishment. It's that living water. It's that bread of life. God's word is what satisfies the soul. Nothing else. Nothing else can satisfy the soul like God's word. It can reach into the depths. It can provide peace where nothing else can. We know that anger and forgiveness and sin is hard on the human body. Harboring anger and unforgiveness is hard on health. Here's a quote. The scriptures teach us the best way of living, the noblest way of suffering, and the most comfortable way of dying, by a John Flavel. God's word can reach and satisfy the need within our heart. Following God's word gives us the best chance at health. And don't get me wrong that if you are struggling from a health issue that you are living in sin, no. The Bible, or Jesus definitely refutes that about the boy being born blind. It said it wasn't in sin, it was because God is to be glorified. And even the book of Job suffered not because of what he did, because of God wanting to be glorified. So, yes, as we follow the word of God, as we follow his commands about forgiveness and not harboring anger and loving other people, we have the best chance of a healthy life that there is, because it is truth. And then in order for our spiritual man to live, we need to feed it. We know that. It needs nourishment. And that nourishment comes from the Word of God. Number five, the Word of God sanctifies and cleanses. Psalm 119:9-11. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Taking heed to the word of God. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. God's word sanctifies and cleanses, and as we drink in with God's word, that we are made clean and we are made whole in his sight. John 17:19, and I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them so that they can be made holy by your truth. And as we learn and take in God's truth, it will sanctify us. It will cleanse us. And those passages where it talks about putting off the old man and putting on the new. We need to, as we put off something, we need to replace it with something else. It is a continual battle to keep doing that. And as we put on and we follow the word of God, those other tendencies go less and less. The word of God sanctifies and cleanses. It makes our heart right with him. It's the only way, through the word of God, that our heart can be clean and able to worship him. Number six, it teaches, guides, and directs. Some of us like road maps. Nowadays, we just use GPS, but the Bible is our GPS. It is our North Star. It is our direction. It teaches and guides and directs us. Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. And we know that probably none of us really like to walk in the dark. Well, we can't see anything. It's easy to stub our toe and kick against something we don't want. So God's word does that. It helps us navigate in this life of a lot of darkness and confusion around us. The word of God will light the path for us. 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. As we understand and grow in the knowledge of the word, it's gonna make us wise and realize that we need Jesus. It's gonna take us to salvation. It guides and directs us. The seventh point is the fact that it is eternal and complete. And maybe this is one of my favorite parts. The Bible is complete. We don't need to add anything to it. The grass withers and the flowers fall. We see a lot of change around us, but the word of our God endures forever. This word will endure forever. It will not be replaced by anything else. It will endure forever. 1 Peter 1:25, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. We need to hang on to the fact that it is eternal and complete. And we also have some instruction about trying to add or take away from his word. Deuteronomy 4:2, and ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. We're not supposed to add or take away. Matthew 5:18, for truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. And Revelation 22 has some along that line. I just want to turn to that. Revelation 22:18, and this is the end of the Bible, the last verses. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. So I think we need to be very careful of trying to, well, we don't want to do it. Trying to make the Bible say things that it doesn't, trying to add or take away. What God has written is complete. We don't need to add to it. We don't need to take away from it. This book contains what we need for our life. Again, just to repeat the seven points, it is inspired, infallible, and inerrant. It is living and powerful. It is truth, it is nourishment, it sanctifies and cleanses, it teaches, guides, and directs, it is eternal and complete. So as we think of the coming week, let's view the Bible as something that we can be excited about. I know sometimes it is hard to have your morning devotions, but as we dig into the Word, we can be fulfilled and we can learn more about God. Another quote, men do not reject the Bible because it contradicts itself, but because it contradicts them. And so often we try to make the Bible say the things that we want it to say because it contradicts what we're doing or how we're living or what we want and not what God's Word is. Just in closing here, maybe a little lengthier closing, but as we prepare for the coming week, I'd just like to refer to a passage in Luke. I didn't put it up here on PowerPoint. I wasn't sure if I'm going to have time to read it, but I think I will. Luke 8, 4 to 15. We know this is the parable of the sower. And as we think of God's Word in this week and preparing our heart for this week, let's read this. Luke 8, verses 4 to 15. And when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and thorns sprang up and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Then his disciples asked him, saying, "What does this parable mean?" And he said, "To you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest of it's given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now this is the parable. The seed is the word of God. So I talked about the Word of God this morning. So what we have here is the seed is the Word of God. And the four soils can be likened to our heart. What is our heart condition? Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the Word out of our hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rocks are those who, when they hear, receive the Word with joy, and those have no root, who believe for a while and in temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. So as we think of the coming week, this is springtime. People are getting ready to prepare ground. I actually saw someone that had tilled their garden already, and so they're getting ready to plant some seed, and so they're preparing. And we know if you're at all a farmer, or a gardener, or you have flowers, you know that it takes preparation, it takes work, cultivating. To have beautiful flowers, a good crop. And I also want to say that in order for us to have a fruitful week, or any time that you hear the word of God, we need to have our hearts tilled and cultivated and ready to receive the good seed from the word of God, however it might come to you. I want to leave you with this verse. 2 Thessalonians 3:1, as I think of this coming week. 2 Thessalonians 3:1 says this, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you." I hope that is our prayer this week, that the word of God would have free course in our lives. So we need to pray for each other. We need to pray for Darlton. And that is my desire, that my heart would be open to receive what God has for us and like I said, we are never too mature a Christian that we cannot receive more if we keep digging. It's there. It's alive. It's powerful. It is God speaking to us in our needs. While we sometimes have those mountaintop experiences and we have the lows, like some of you shared this morning, like Elijah did, and God speaks to us and he encourages us and we keep going. There in Kings it says, and Elijah went. God told him to go, and we keep going and on through this life. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning. We thank you that we have your word. Your word is truth. It's alive. It's powerful. It is for us today. It is for all of mankind in every generation. You have written it so that it is always relevant and can apply to our lives. We thank you for that. We want to honor and glorify you, and we just want you to be praised. We pray this through Christ. Amen.